This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. بعد my dear brothers and sisters, in our lesson of living Islam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. The purpose of all of this is for us to be able to live our lives according to the beautiful deen, the beautiful religion, the beautiful way of life. Do remember, when we say deen, what is deen? Deen is not just a set of rituals. Deen is the whole gamut of it, which is everything to do with life. And so, therefore, in this beautiful deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us what we must do and how we must live our lives, right? Now, in this deen, I want to talk about one very important thing, which is the controlling of anger. In a very beautiful hadith, which is narrated in many places, in one place the narrator is Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. In another place, in Musnad Imam Ahmad, this hadith is narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this man said to him, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give me some advice." Then he qualified that. He said, "I just want a few words that I can live by." Right? I just want a few words. And then he said, "Please do not elaborate. Don't give me a long advice because I might forget those words. So just give me a few words that I will be able to remember and I can take as life advice that I can live by for the rest of my life." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "La taqdab." He said, "Do not become angry." "La taqdab." "Do not become angry." Now the man said, "Ya Rasulullah, please give me some more advice." And maybe, you know, he asked for a quick short solution, but maybe he thought, you know, he didn't want it so short. So he asked him again. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, please give me advice." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La taghdab." Then again he said, "Ya Rasulullah, please give me advice." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "La taghdab." Right? Now, this hadith is also in Sahih Bukhari. Now, he said, "Do not become furious and angry." My brothers and sisters, if you think about this, controlling anger. Now remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not saying to him, "Don't become angry." Right? He says, "Control your anger." He doesn't say to him, "Don't feel angry." In another place, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The person who is truly strong is not the one who can overcome his opponent." It's not somebody in a wrestling match, he's able to throw down his opponent. This is not the man who is truly strong. He said, "The one who is truly strong is the one who can control himself when he is angry." Right? Innama ash-shadid alladhi yumsik nafsahu indal ghadab. He said, "The man who truly has power, shadid, very strong, is the one who is able to overcome himself, who is able to control himself when he is angry." Now, it's a difficult thing. It's not easy, because anger is one of the fundamental emotions, right? One of the fundamental emotions is anger. It's like hunger, for example. So, and many other similar very fundamental things. If it happens, it happens. I mean, there is no way you can stop being angry. You cannot stop yourself from being angry. You cannot prevent yourself from being angry. In some cases, in many cases, the anger might be unjustified, but still you feel angry. And especially where the anger is justified, and you know, you might say, well, here is a situation where I have every reason to be angry. See the way this other person is behaving. Maybe somebody is abusing you. Maybe somebody is, falsely accusing you of something you never did. People do all kinds of funny things. So it may be many things like this, and you might say, well, you know what? I mean, if I do not get angry in this situation, it means that either I am a complete fool, that I really don't even know what's going on, or I'm a coward. You know, I am angry, but I don't want to say it because I'm afraid of the man. So feeling anger is a natural emotion. But what is Islam teaching us? Islam is saying, feel the anger. If it is justified, yes, it is justified. But do not give in to that anger and do not behave in ways which are negative. You know, one of the most important things to understand, and I think this is a good deterrent for those who get angry, which is, just think of the consequences of that. So once you are angry, and once you have finished, you know, you are raving and ranting, once your anger has been thrown out, then what happens? Now you see destruction all around you, because now you have hurt somebody, you have cursed somebody, you have offended somebody, the other people are now angry with you, and so on and so forth. And what happens if you have any shame at all, right? If you have got any shame at all, then you will then go and apologize to those people. So you have to go now and humiliate yourself in front of people and say, you know what, I'm extremely sorry, somehow I lost my temper, blah, blah, blah. Now my point is, why would you want to subject yourself to that humiliation? Why? So at the time when you become angry, a good idea is to remind yourself and say, now hold on a second, if I express this anger in a negative way, then I'm going to have to go and make up all that, and that is not worth the trouble. So whatever release I get from expressing this anger, whatever release I get from raving and ranting and shouting, it is better for me to control that. That is easier than going later on to the same people that I was shouting at, and then, you know, begging them and saying, please forgive me, and so on and so forth. Now, if you don't do that, there are other consequences. Now, you might say, well, you know, I don't care, I will not apologize. Don't apologize, then what happens? Then there are other consequences, which might be worse. So that is why it's a very important thing to be clear in your mind about this and not express this anger in a bad way, right? My brothers and sisters, it is very, very important to be clear in your mind about these things. Now, one of the very beautiful stories of the Sirah with regard to anger and so on, is, let me tell you two stories. One is a story related to the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. He had a slave who was making wudu, and this slave or servant of his brought water to pour, and his water was very hot. It was winter, and his water was very hot, and when he poured the water, he burnt his he burnt the hands of Sayyidina Hassan. So obviously, you know, he looked up like this, at this person, and there was anger on his face. But subhanAllah, I mean, people, even the servants and so on, in terms of religious knowledge, people with knowledge and people with wisdom. So this was a slave, and the slave suddenly saw his master, you know, getting angry. So he recited this ayah. He said, "Alladhina yunfiquna fi sarra'i wa dharra'i." This is the ayat from Surah Al-Imran, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the people who spend when they have less and when they have more. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. Right? وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. These are the people who swallow their anger. So when he said وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, Sayyidina Hassan kept quiet. He didn't say anything. Then the man decided to say something more. So he said, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. He said, these are people who forgive people. وَعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. So he said, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, he said, I have forgiven you. And then the man completed the ayat. He said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do ihsan, who do even more. And Sayyidina Hassan said to him, I have freed you, go. Right? You are no longer my slave. I have freed you. Imagine, this is the beauty of also knowing your religion. Where in a situation where the man may have, Sayyidina Hassan, we don't expect that he would have beaten him or something, but obviously he would have got angry with him. Instead of that, this man actually got his freedom because he knew the Quran and he knew how to respond in that situation. Right? Very, very interesting story. Another one is another very beautiful story. A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Banu Qurayda, the Jewish tribe, which one of the three Jewish tribes which lived in Medina. So this man came from the Banu Qurayda to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he walked into the gathering and he started yelling at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "You owe me money. You owe me money," and he started yelling at him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the date has not passed, meaning that I owe you money, I agree, and I am supposed to pay you by such and such a date. That date has not come, so I will pay you. So he said, you people are all like this. He started mocking, right? He started mocking, and he said, you people are all like this. You are always late with your money. You never pay your debts on time. It's all false. But he started, this Jewish guy, he started, screaming and saying all of this stuff. Now, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was there. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was a very big and powerful man. He used to be a professional wrestler before he became Muslim. And he was a very big and very well-built. And, being a professional wrestler, obviously he was massive. He was big muscles. So Sayyidina Umar couldn't tolerate. Now, he was very... very forbearing himself, where a woman stood up in the middle of the Jumu'ah and she yelled at him, he kept quiet, and in many other places. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being insulted in front of him, Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu couldn't handle it. So he got up and he walked up to that man and he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me an order, allow me and I will finish him. Allow me and I will rid you of this man. Just give me the order and he's gone. This man is dead. Now the man was obviously afraid because he thought, this guy is going to kill me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, this is not why the man came. He said, this is not what we wanted from you. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, I don't expect you to talk like this to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Then he said, so now he said, take the man to the treasury and give him 20 handful of dates or 20 palms, whatever it was, which is what I owe him, and then give another 20 for the way you treated him. Right? And he said, you have to walk him there and you have to pay him. So he's not going to leave here and go away. And maybe there is somebody else who is angry with him and somebody else might attack him or something. You are going to be now his bodyguard. Take him to the treasury. Give him, even though it's not due just now, it is due later. So give it to him, the entire amount, whatever is due to him, and give him double that as payment, as punishment, as fine for the way you treated him. So Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu now starts walking with this man, and he doesn't want to talk to the guy. But this man says to him, "Do you know who I am, Ya Ibn al-Khattab?" He said, "Do you know who I am?" So Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu said, "No, I don't know who you are." He said, "I am Zayd bin Sa'ana. Now when Umar radhiyallahu anhu heard the name Zayd bin Sa'ana, he said, "Habrul Yahud?" He said, "You are the rabbi of the Jews?" Now Zayd bin Sa'ana was not just a rabbi of the Jews, he was one of the greatest scholars and one of the greatest rabbis of the time in Medina and elsewhere. Right? Very famous man. So he said, "I am Zayd bin Sa'ana." Sayyidina Umar said, "Anta Zayd bin Sa'ana, Habr means rabbi. He says, "Habrul Yahud?" The man said, "Yes." So Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu said, then why did you behave like this? Why did you behave like this? Now, meaning that you are a person with a reputation. You are a well-known person. You are known as a noble and dignified person. You are a scholar of your religion. You are a rabbi. We've heard about you. We respect you. Why did you treat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this manner? Right? So he says, "Why did you treat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this manner?" The man said to him, "I did this for a reason." He said, "I was looking for the signs of prophethood in our book, in the Torah. And," he said, "I found all of them in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except this one which I had to test." Right? So Sayyidina Umar said, "What is that?" He said that yasbiqu hilmahu jahla. His forbearance, his sabr, his self-control is more than his jahl. And jahl, the Arabs used to use jahl meaning ghadab, meaning anger. Right? So he said, "Now how do I find this out without testing?" So he said, I wanted to test and see, because this is the only sign of prophethood that I was not able to find. Not because it's not there, but because I had to test it. And I had not tested, so I didn't know. And that is yasbiqu hilmahu jahla, that his hilm is more than his anger. His sabr, his self-control, his dignity is more than his anger. I had to test it out. So Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu said, "So now what?" He said, "Now ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." So Zayd bin Sa'ana radhiyallahu anhu, he was the second great rabbi of Medina to actually accept Islam after Abdullah bin Salam radhiyallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Salam was the first one to accept. And then Zayd bin Sa'ana was a wealthy man. So he then dedicated half his wealth to sadaqah. So half his wealth he gave away in charity. Right? And then he said, "I will make Umrah when the time presents itself." Now, the point is that this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the way in which he taught us to control our anger. We know the famous story of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu. In the middle of battle, now see the kind of tarbiyah these people had, see the kind of self-control they had, right? So Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu is in the middle of battle, and he is he was in the middle of battle. The enemy was in front of him. He picked up this enemy, threw him on the ground, and he had his sword in his hand, and he was about to kill the man. He was on his chest. Sayyidina Ali was on this man's chest like this, and he was going to take his head off when the man spat at him. Right, he spat in his face. Sayyidina Ali immediately stood up. He left him. He stood up. Now the man stood up. He's astonished. He said, "What happened?" He said, "What happened? You were going to kill me just now. Now what happened? You got up." Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, I was fighting you for the sake of Islam. Right? This was a battle between you and me, and this was between Islam and you came to attack us. So I was fighting you for the sake of Allah. When you spat at me, my ego came in, I got angry, which means now if I had killed you, I would be killing you for myself. I would be killing you to satisfy my ego. He said, I can't do that. I cannot do that. The man said, this is your religion? He said, yes. The man said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. My brothers and sisters, Islam came into this world and Islam spread by the actions of people, by the behavior of people. Right? Now, another beautiful one of how Rasulullah used to behave with people. One day, Nabi had some guests. So, they were all sitting there. And Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha was cooking something, right, in the house. And these guests were all sitting there. Now, Aisha radiallahu anha is our mother. She's one of the greatest scholars of Islam. Right? One of the greatest scholars of Islam. People used to go to her for fatawa and so on. She's quoted thousands of hadiths and so on. But cooking was not her thing. So she was not a great cook. So some of the other women actually used to tease her. Some of the other wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and others, they used to tease her. They used to say, you don't know how to cook and so on. So on that day when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting with his guests, imagine this is the Prophet of Allah, right, himself. He is in his own house. He is sitting with his guests and in the living room, and they're all sitting in a circle like they used to sit at a halaqa. Now Umme Salama radiallahu anha, also the other wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she realized that these people are here and so on. She wasn't sure what is Aisha doing radiallahu anha. So Umme Salama radiallahu anha sent some food, a dish, to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, they placed the dish right between in the middle. Right, they brought this dish and they prepared. Now Aisha radiallahu anha was preparing her own dish, whatever it was she was cooking, when she suddenly saw this, that they are about to eat this good food that is brought from Umme Salama radiallahu anha's house. So what does she do? Say the Aisha radiallahu anha walks in between all these people, she walks in and she picks up the plate and throws it, breaks it. And then she walks away. Now imagine, put yourself in this situation. If you were there in your house and your wife did this, whatever reason, she did, she was upset with you or whatever. So in front of all of your friends and so on and so forth, she walks in and she picks up a plate and she picks up the plate you're going to eat the food and throws it. What will you do? What will you say? So now there is this complete dead silence. Everyone is totally shocked. They don't know what to say, because this is not just the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, she is the mother of the believers. So it's an issue of also of deen. So the Sahaba are all dead silent. They are just waiting to see what is the Prophet ﷺ going to do. Is he going to shout at his wife? Is he going to berate her? Is he going to shout at her in front of them? Is he going to get up and go inside and, whatever, correct her or something? What does he do? Nabi ﷺ smiles. He smiles and he says, your mother is jealous. He says, your mother became jealous. And then he says, kulu, eat. Huh? Eat. The food is good, food is there. Let's not waste the food. He said, eat. He said, your mother became jealous. Eat. Subhanallah. And then what does he do? So they finish, the food is eaten, they are gone. Now what does he do? When he goes inside, he simply says to Sayyida Aisha, you must send a plate to Umm Salama. Because you broke her plate, so send her one of your own. That's it. He doesn't say, why did you do that? You know, should you not have some consideration? I am after all the Prophet of Allah, and you know, you insulted me or what? No, nothing. End of it. End of it. But justice, I mean, you broke her plate, so send her a plate. Matter is over. My brothers and sisters, really think about this and say that if we were in her place or if we were in his place, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would we be doing? Think about this. What would be doing, and what is it that we, what would happen to us? Now, so this man, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, says to him, La taghdab. Don't get angry. Don't get overcome with anger. Right? Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu says that, now I'm teaching you some, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also told us some antidote for this. And Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu also was one of these people who was on a short fuse. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him ways to deal with his anger. Right? Anger management is a big issue. I mean, for a lot of people, good people, but you know, that's why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said anger is a form of madness. It's not just a simple thing. He said it's like a form of madness, because when you lose your temper, your brain goes dead, right? Your reasoning power, everything's gone. Yeah, it is just pure passion. And that is where I said, you know, at the end of that, it ends up with more problem than it's worth. So you don't want it to be like that. So Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him a lot of advice about anger, what to do. So one of the things which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu, he said that if you get angry, he said, if you are standing, sit down. If you are standing, when you get angry, if you are standing, he said, sit down. And he said, if you are sitting, lie down. This is something which cools anger. He said, if you are standing, then sit down, and if you are sitting, then lie down. Another thing which is very good for controlling anger is to make wudu. Right? So you're not making wudu because your wudu broke, and it's not that your wudu breaks if you get angry, no. But just to control the anger, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, make wudu. So obviously your anger is going to get controlled. Now obviously think about that. I mean, you're angry, you want to yell and scream, and now you're going to sit up with the water and so on, and put water on your face and so on, and gargle. And I mean, where's the time to scream? So by the time you finish your wudu, and this is ibadah, you're going to get reward for it as well, your anger is under control, inshallah. For other people around, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you find the situation where somebody is getting very angry and so on, he said, call the adhan. Because anger is from shaitan, and when the adhan is called, shaitan runs away. So he said to other people, he said, call the adhan, right? So this is another way of controlling our anger. My brothers and sisters, It is very, very important for us to think about this and say now, in this case of anger, let me then go to the next step, which is that it's, if you want to succeed in this, then one of the key things to do is to try to identify the triggers. What is it that triggers your anger? Because not everyone gets angry about the same things. Maybe you don't. Maybe different people have different different triggers. So it is very useful to identify the triggers which set off the anger, the angry behavior. Different people have different triggers. It's very important for us to identify that and say what is the thing that I must do. Yeah. Now, in the case of Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu, let me tell you the story which I have said, I mentioned earlier also, which shows a few things. It shows his, first of all, and most importantly, it shows his own sincerity. And this is the quality of the Sahabi radhiyallahu anhu. But it also shows what I mentioned earlier, which is that because you get angry and say something, then in order to make amends, you end up having to, you know, humiliate yourself unnecessarily, which otherwise you would not have needed to do. So Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu one day got upset with Sayyidina Bilal radhiyallahu anhu, Bilal bin Rabah radhiyallahu anhu, one of the greatest of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallam and particularly close confidant of Rasulullah sallam. He got angry with him and he called him. He said, "You are the son of a black mother." Now, obviously, Sayyidina Bilal's mother was African; she was black. But the way Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu said that, obviously, he didn't mean that as a compliment. So Sayyidina Bilal got upset quite rightly, and he complained to Rasulullah sallam. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu and he said, "Have you gone back to the days of Jahiliyyah? I mean, what behavior is this? Why must you use language like this?" So Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu, now he went to Sayyidina Bilal and he profusely apologized to him. Now this is where I'm saying, see the sincerity of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu. Of both of them. So he went to him, he profusely apologized to him. Then he said, "I am going to lie down on the ground. I'll put my face like this. I want you to stamp on my face with your shoe." Right? I'll put my face on the ground. "I want you to stamp on my face with your shoe." Sayyidina Bilal radhiyallahu anhu said, "No, I will not do anything like this. So forget it. You apologize to me, that's enough. Alhamdulillah. I have forgiven you, matter is over." Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu, he said, no, I have to make amends. I don't want to, be in trouble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you must do this. And he kept on insisting. And Sayyidina Bilal absolutely refused. He said, I'm not going to do it. So he said, so Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari then again got angry. He said, "I'm going to complain to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Sayyidina Bilal said, "Subhanallah, this is good. I mean, you got angry, you got yourself into trouble. And now you are getting angry again about this, act, your request or whatever you want to call it, because I will not do it." He said, "You want to complain, but I'm not going to do it." Now, the point I'm making here is that, of course, we hugely respect the sincerity of the Sahaba. But also, it's a point to remember that the problem happens because we are unable to control our anger. If we are able to control our anger, we don't get into this problem in the first place. Right? We don't get into the problem. But if you don't control your anger, then of course, this can become a masala for all of us. My brothers and sisters, so think about this and say, how do I come to the come to identify what are my triggers. Now, one of the ways, in many cases, it is difficult sometimes to identify these things for yourself. And one of the greatest and most helpful things is to ask somebody else. So ask people, and usually your those of your nearer and dearer ones are the ones who often become the the sufferers of your passion, your anger. So ask them and they say, "Please tell me, what is it that I do? You know, what triggers me off. This kind of a conversation of seeking this feedback has a very positive effect because it's a two-way thing. It also alerts others that they might sometimes unconsciously be doing things which make you angry. But that's not the reason you ask. You're not saying, well, you know, let us identify what is the stuff you do so that you can stop doing it. No. You are saying, I want to identify this, so I will control my anger. I will not allow myself to become angry, even if you do that. But the positive fallout of such a conversation is two ways, because what happens is that the other person also realizes that, okay, we both need to live in harmony in this place. And so if I am going to continue to make statements or do things which get this person angry and more angry and more angry, then obviously that doesn't help. And as a result of that, this person is only going to get, you know, it will only get worse. So instead of that, let me also try to be more considerate and not do those things which unnecessarily irritate my partner or whoever, you know, you are, whether it's a relationship between spouses or parents and children or whatever, right? So it has a very nice positive effect if you both sit down. My suggestion to you would be sit with a pen and paper, right? Sit on the pen and paper, write down the things that trigger your anger. Then identify the places, the actual physical locations where these triggers happen most often. This is really worth some effort, believe me. You will be a much happier person if you do this. So say that, you know, this is something which I get angry in this place. I get angry when people do this, and that happens in such and such a place. Whatever is that place, right? Whether it's in the office, during your tea break, in the parking lot, in the toilet, or wherever, right? What is it that makes you angry? What are the triggers? And physical location where this kind of thing happens. Then you have some options. First option is, as far as possible, try to avoid those physical locations. Just don't go there. Don't go there. If you don't go there, you don't see what's happening, and your anger doesn't happen. Second thing is, if you have to go there, because some places are not avoidable, then what you do is you make sure you go there, but you go there with this awareness to say, this is where things generally go wrong. So let me be clear in my mind, and when I'm in this place, let me watch myself. So make a note of that. Keep a note of that. And then keep track of what happens thereafter. I want to end with a very nice teaching story. The story is that there was this young boy, a little boy, not very little, but you know, maybe 10 years old or something, who had an anger problem. He had an anger problem. He used to rave and rant and scream and go ballistic and, you know, all kinds of problems. And it became a big issue. It became a big problem in the school, became a big problem at home, and so on and so forth. Teachers complaining and threatening to throw him out of school. So one day his father called him and he gave him a bag of nails and a hammer. And he said to him, look, he said, do me a favor. He said, every time you get angry, take a nail, and they had their fence, house fence was a wooden fence. He said, go and hammer a nail in that fence. Anytime you get angry, take a nail, knock it in the fence. Until this bag of nails is over, or your anger is controlled, whichever. So the boy said, okay. Now, few days passed, few weeks passed, and he would get angry and he'd go hammer a nail, he'd get angry, he'd hammer a nail. So after that, some time passed, few weeks, this boy decided that, okay, now I think I have control over my anger, I am not getting angry like this anymore, and even if I get angry, I'm able to control myself. So he came back to his father. He said, Daddy, here is a lot of the nails are still there. Here's the nails, here's the hammer. I think everything is under control. And here is what you gave me back to you. Father said, no, hold on. He said, now what I want you to do is go and pull out all those nails. Right? The hammer has this nail puller at the back. He said, take this. Go and pull out all the nails that you knocked in the fence. So he said, okay. So he went and he pulled out all the nails. The father said, now go look at the fence. How does it look? He said, it has holes. It has all these holes. So the father said, before you started hammering the nails of the fence was neat. It was safe, it was neat, it was clean. He said, now you hammered the nails in and you pulled them out and now the fence has got all holes. It's become ugly. What lesson do you learn? The boy said, the lesson I learn is that I may get over my anger, but because of my anger, I'm leaving holes in the hearts of people, in the minds of people. I'm leaving scars. So the scars of my anger are ugly. So even though I may go and apologize and whatnot, but I'm leaving a scar. So even though I pull out the nail, the hole is still there. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to control our anger and to ensure that we do not get angry and we do not lose our temper and we don't behave in ways which are undignified and which are negative. Ask Allah to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.